Second Peter, chapter number 1. I will give you the verses in just a moment, the paragraph for tonight's text. But I want to say this before I tell you where they're located. In my opinion, what we're about to read is the greatest single block of Scripture in all the Bible on how to grow in the Lord. See if I get an amen here. Getting saved is not the end of the journey. It's the beginning of the journey. When we get saved, we're like newborn babes in Christ. That's what Peter said, his terminology. And a newborn babe, amen, needs to grow. How to grow in our Christian experience. Beginning at verse 5, and really for the whole paragraph that follows, and I don't know how far we'll get tonight, Peter gives his view, Holy Spirit inspired, on how to grow in the Lord. I just want to ask this question. You can nod your head, you can say amen, you can smile. Anybody here want to grow in Christ? That's why we're here. I'm not here tonight to get saved. I've already been saved once, and you can't be saved twice. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm here to get new truth I can apply in my life. How important are these things? And let me tell you where we're going with this. We're going to end up when it's boiled down to 8 qualities, 8 traits. And these traits are not like the cafeteria line where you can pick and choose what you like and you don't. You've got to get all 8 of them in order to be a grown-up Christian. And preacher, I'm pretty sure of this. You can't even take them in the order you would like. They got to come just like the Holy Ghost gives them. And they're in our text. And I promise you, boy, that's a strong word to use. I promise you, to the degree you incorporate these 8 features, these 8 characteristics into your life with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will mature, you will grow, you will bear fruit. You will stay faithful to the glory of God. Without them, I promise you, and I'll read the verses, you'll be barren, unfruitful, blind, unable to see, far off. And you'll be way too spiritually forgetful as well. Would y'all stand with me while I read it? You don't have to stand if you aren't able or don't feel like it. It's okay. But if you will, starts at verse 5. Verse 5. And beside this, in other words, after this morning's sermon, that opening prayer, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, there's trait number 1, virtue, there's number 2. And to your virtue, knowledge, number 3. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And that don't mean giving something to the Salvation Army, neither. The word charity means love. Now watch. For, I'm at verse 8. If these things, what things? The eight things I just read. If these things be in you and abound, they, here's a promise, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have these eight things, you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. You will never be barren in your Christian experience. But look, he that lacketh, verse 9, he that lacketh these things is what? You tell me, what is he? He's blind. And he can't see afar off. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Goodness. Let me keep reading. Verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence. You better be sure about this. Give diligence that your calling and election are sure. For if you do these things, what things? Those eight traits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. If you do these things, I should say faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If you do these things, ye shall never, I need that next word, ye shall never what? You'll never fall. For so an entrance, that's not all folks, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Peter, who's an old man now, as he writes by that standard of that day, he's an old man, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I will not let you forget these eight things, though you already know them, and be established, rooted, firmly grounded in the present truth. You may be seated in the present truth. I'll try to explain that in a few minutes. That's a long paragraph. As texts go, that is an awful lot of Scripture. But I don't know where to cut it off. And if you listen, I'll try to, in a feeble way, I'll try to explain these traits. I don't know which end, with which to begin. Why would I want to listen to a sermon about eight character qualities God wants in my life? Here they are. Faith, virtue, knowledge. I've got to talk a few seconds about each of them. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, or love. Why would I want to incorporate those things? Why should those things be my goal as a believer? And boy, if Peter doesn't try to create interest, I don't know what. And excuse me for doing it the way that I'm doing. Verse 8, if these things be in you, these things be in you and abound. Listen to that word, abound. The Greek means to be in abundance. That's abound, abundance. I'm defining it with the word. Let me back up. It means to be full of it, to bubble over with it. Not just to have a little bit of love, to be consumed by the love of God. Not just to have a teaspoon full of brotherly kindness, but to have 10 gallons of brotherly kindness. If these saints be in you and abound, and I read it, but I want to try to define it. They make you that you'll neither be barren. Y'all hear this. It's an exciting word. You will not be barren. Set out tonight afresh and anew. I want faith to grow in me. I want more virtue. I want more knowledge. I want more temper. If you ever get it in big doses, you'll never be barren as a Christian. The word that is used there for barren, look it up again a minute ago, it literally means idol. Not worshiping an idol. Idol, I-D-L-E. Not busy. Not busy for Jesus. I want to make an announcement. There are a lot of Baptists that sure ain't doing much for the Lord. A lot of Christians not active. But he said, if you'll get these things, if you'll constantly be growing in faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, and the list goes on. He said, I promise you this, you'll always be busy for your Lord, because you can't excel in these 8 things without constantly, I'll need an amen, working at it. I'll get to the word in a minute. You'll not be barren nor unfruitful. Listen to the word unfruitful. It's a beautiful little word. Akarpos. It's spelled A-K-A-R-P-O-S, without, like amillennial is no millennium. Akarpos, without fruit. What's fruit? What is fruit to the New Testament mind, the New Testament? Fruit. All right, I'm a tree. I'm an apple tree, an orange tree. I'm a tree. I'm supposed to bear fruit. What is fruit? Karpos. The Greek word karpos means this. Something sweet. Something delicious. Smile at me. This ain't persimmons here. Something sweet. Something pleasant that you go up, the heart of the word, and you want to pluck it. You want to pick it. You want something for yourself. You want to taste it because it's so delicious to your palate. We as Christians are supposed to be bearing fruit, enough fruit, abundant fruit, that world out there sees what we got. I'll need an amen. And they want some of it. I promise you, you'll never be without karpos. You'll never be unfruitful if you've got these 8 qualities in your life. Isn't that amazing? Watch, we'll go further. Peter's still trying to interest us in, he that lacketh these things, verse 9, is blind. Well, I'm telling you, a few years ago, if you would have told me somebody that's saved, somebody that's got faith, and if you'd have told me they could be blind, I'd have looked you in the eye and I'd have said you're dead wrong. But I just read the verse. He's blind. Are you sure he's writing to Christians? I don't know. This morning they had like precious faith. This morning they were partakers of the divine nature. They're saved. Blind? Tupos. The word, well, let me say it again. Tuphos. It's a PH sound. Tuphos. What does it mean? It is the Greek word for smoke. It's not literally the word the retina is detached or our eyes did not form. It means you're in the fog. You're in the smoke. If I don't have faith and virtue and knowledge in the list in my heart, I am spiritually, I'm not in the know. I am spiritually blighted, in the smog, misguided. In the smoke. The man of God can get in the pulpit Sunday morning and preach a beautiful message, and he'll do it every week. I'm not questioning. I validate that fact. And there's some of you sitting out there, you're enjoying it. You know where he's going. You know some of the things he's probably going to write. And some of us sit out there, and we don't have the slightest. We didn't even know that is in the Bible. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We're in the fog. Why would a Christian be in the fog? Don't know, but I suspect he don't have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and the rest of them. He's blind. Then, my verse, he cannot see afar off. He can see up close, but he cannot see afar off. I'll make an announcement. Spiritually speaking, I don't know that I can, but it's my desire. I want to see way on down the road. I want to see afar off. Tell you how far I'd like to see. I'd like to see all the way to the coming of Jesus myself. But if I don't have faith, virtue, knowledge, cannot see afar. Listen to this Greek word. Myopia. Myopia. The U becomes a Y when it comes into English. And your eye doctors probably discuss the term myopia. See real good up here. Can't see too good out there. Some of us have got spiritual myopia. And we've got it to the degree we lack faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance. Are y'all okay? I hope I'm laying the foundation of how vitally important these qualities are. And I'm playing around with verse 9. Said he's blind. He can't see far. And he hath forgotten. He was purged from his old sins. By the way, that's proof he's saved. He's been purged from his old sins. Let me... And this is not germane, but I've got that word purged. It means washed and scrubbed and cleansed so that it is, I'll take an amen, shiny bright. I don't think y'all are seeing that. I was lost, I was vile, I was dirty, I was on my way to hell, and I got cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Said, if you lack faith, virtue, if your faith, virtue, knowledge, if it's not growing like it ought to be growing, said you'll easily forget that you were purged from your old sins. The constant reminder in the book of Deuteronomy, God speaking to Israel, don't forget, remember, don't let it slip. Hear me, one sign of lackadaisical, lukewarm Christianity, we forget what He did for us. When He saved our souls from hell. Blind, in the smoke, can't see far off, forgotten He's purged from His old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, brethren, is he talking to Christians or not? Brethren. Hey, let me give you that word, brethren. It's a Greek word. Adelphos. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. City of brotherly love. Adelphos, brethren. Brethren. Get what it means. Adelphos, here the ah is a unifying prefix. And Delphos is merely the noun for, in Greek, the mother's womb. Adelphos. This is what brethren means. I'll take an amen. We all came out of the same womb. The womb of grace. Fathered by God the Holy Ghost. The Word being the seed that was implanted. And we all meet down here at the nursery, growing together in the Lord. Little plants. brethren, make your calling and election sure. Hey, he is implying that if I'm not growing in my faith, in my virtue, and the six other traits, my calling is questionable. My election is questionable. My salvation, he said, if you're really saved, you ought to have some of this going on in your life. And that calling goes back to something I said this morning when the Holy Ghost loved you and summoned you and drew you to the Savior. What's that word election about? Now, preacher, stay calm because I'm not going to abuse this. The word election means I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I feel real blessed tonight. I'm chosen. But I got an announcement to make. He chose you too. It's not an exclusive club. And you can go to your lost neighbor tomorrow and go ahead and tell him God loves him too. D.L. Moody one night, fixing to preach, and it tore some folks up. It upset them. D.L. Moody went to the pulpit that night, prayed before he preached. He said, God, save the elect that are here tonight. Some of them got excited. Save the elect. And then he said this, and God, when they all get saved, elect some more. Elect some more. If you're part of the church, if you're part of the bride, hallelujah, you are in the in crowd. You are in the elect. Are y'all okay with that? How can I be sure? That word sure means a solid rock foundation. How can I be sure? Well, I guess faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience will be evident in my life. Are y'all all right so far? Boy, you're responding so well. I got to hurry. I want to say I got to hurry so I can get started with our list. I got to hurry. Verse 10 and 10. If you do these things, the word do, it means to practice. Not just one Sunday a year. Not just on occasion. If you regularly, consistently, habitually do these things, ye shall, you told me a minute ago, never fall. I'm going to make an announcement, and I think I'll get around to that. This is not falling from grace. This is not losing your salvation. Because if you ever got that, it will stay with you. Well, that wasn't as good an amen as I really wanted. If you've been washed in the blood, you are going to glory. What kind of falling is it? Living my Christian life, stumbling, staggering, falling in one mud hole of sin after another. He said, you get this stuff in your life, you will never fall. You'll be the realization of that part of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You'll never fall. Verse 11. I just read it. I didn't even talk about it. Said, if you got these things, an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It means this, and I'm loosely interpreting. It means when you get to heaven, when you reach, and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven can be discussed. And you say, when you meet the Lord, said, if these saints are in your life, I hope I get an amen, they're going to know you have arrived. You'll get an abundant entrance into the kingdom. You won't be ushered in the back door. It'll not be a quiet day when you come on the scene. An abundant entrance. Reminds me of Paul. Well, that's what he says for those who... And look at verse 12. And then we'll go back and pick up our list real quick. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I think Peter loved to preach that list right there. Peter, you come through town 4 months ago, and you preached about these things, and here you are preaching about them again. Listen to Brother Bagwell. I suspect the whole Christian life can be summed up in this eightfold fruit that ought to be growing on our trees in our lives to the glory of God. I'm going to keep you in remembrance of these things. Peter said, you heard it here, and you're going to hear it again as long as I'm around. They are that important. Now, y'all are looking at me and listening so well, and I appreciate it. If what he said there is true, this list, hope I get an amen, is one powerful paragraph of Scripture. If it can do all that for me and you in our lives. Y'all ready? Two of you are ready. And the preacher's one of them. Are y'all ready? Let's wade out ankle deep, middle get deep, knee deep, I guess, and on as we go. Verse 5, giving all diligence. Oh, how important. Give, it's a participial phrase there. Giving all diligence. Listen to the word diligence. It's spoude, S-P-O-U-D-E. D-E. It's pronounced like an A. Giving all diligence. Here's what it means. Doing your best. Here's what it means. Letting it have all you've got. Here's what it means. Preacher, spude in 2 Timothy 2:15 is translated study. Study to show yourself. It means get in there, master it, learn these things, and do them to the glory of God. Giving all diligence. Diligence requires effort. I want to say this. Hope I get an amen here. When you got saved, you didn't have to work a bit to get saved. In fact, salvation is a gift. If we'd worked for it, we'd end up boasting about it. I trusted, I believed, and he saved. That's getting saved. But hear me. Ever becoming a grown-up, mature Christian, hope I get an amen or two, that's not easy. That's not easy. That will take diligence, effort, determination, gumption, faithfulness, persistence, resilience, if I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Now, I've got a question. Is he worth that to you tonight? Giving all diligence. All right, let's see. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, there's number one, faith. Add to your faith. See if you'll agree with it. You don't have to again. If you're here and saved, you already got some faith. How do you know that, Brother Bagwell? Because you can't get saved without it. For by grace are you saved through faith. You've got some faith. But I'm going to say this, and I'll try to say it quickly. It don't take no whole lot of faith to get saved. I think personally a mustard seed of faith will get a man saved. Mustard seed of faith will move a mountain, Jesus said. Not how much faith you got, it's in whom you've placed your faith. I said it this afternoon. I said, I'm not going to say that tonight, but here I am saying it. A dump truck load of faith in Buddha will send you to hell. A teaspoon's worth of faith in Jesus will get you to glory. It's who you're trusting that counts. Add to your faith. However much faith you got, he said, take it and add to it. Let me tell you what Peter wants us to be doing all of our Christian lives. Growing in our faith. But now here's my question. I hope somebody else is asking it. How do you grow in your faith? How can I grow if I sit here tonight and I really, y'all are the Sunday night crowd. Some folks didn't come back. Might be sickness. None of my business. That's not where I'm going. You're the crowd that I'm suspecting, determined, a little more serious about. How can I grow up? Preacher already got faith. I got back Sunday night, didn't I? I read my chapters, didn't I? How do I grow in faith? I only know two ways. The preacher may know more, and I would yield to him. I know two ways. Number one, I think you can pray for more faith. Now, I used to wouldn't have preached that. But there's a man come to Jesus one day. Jesus fixing to heal his loved one. And Jesus said, do you believe? And the man said, Lord, I believe. Listen, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I'm believing with all I got, but if you'll help me, I'll believe some more. Lord, I don't have the faith I need. Lord, I'd like my faith to grow. I think I'm just going to ask you, increase my faith. Add to your faith. Here's the second way faith will grow. I promise you this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what will happen Sunday in and Sunday out, a.m. and p.m. You listen to that man of God climb in that pulpit, open the Bible and preach, your faith will grow. Faith comes through the Word of God. Point one's covered. You want your faith to grow, pray. God will make you stronger in your faith. Hear every exposition of the Word of God you can hear, and your faith will gradually begin to increase, and you will grow in that magnificent quality. Now, that's all I need to say about faith. We've got another one. We've got to quickly go on to, but I want to ask this. Is there anybody? Jesus in His ministry, He talked about those who had no faith. He talked about some who had little faith. Twice He met somebody that had great faith. Will y'all admit? And I'll holler amen first. We do need to grow in our faith. Add to your faith. And you mean as my faith grows, I won't be barren or unfruitful? You mean as my faith grows, I won't be in the cloud, in the fog, and I'll see now. You mean as my faith grows, I'll not stumble, follow? What is that? Add to your faith. Boy, am I going to have to speed up. Add to your... I don't want you just to hear me say... Verse 5. Add to your faith virtue. You see that little word? It's a V word. V-I-R-T-U, virtue. Or what it means, virtue. W.E. Vine, in his little word studies dictionary, says that the word virtue, arete, the word virtue, the Greek word means this. Listen to it, and I'll put it in quotes. Moral excellence. Moral excellence. Here's what it means. Somebody give me one amen. Living clean lives. I'll put an ER since it's an increase. Living cleaner lives. Why Does the Holy Ghost say you got faith first and then after faith there'll be virtue? Because as soon as you get saved, as soon as you exercise saving faith, as soon as the Holy Ghost moves in your heart and indwells it, He's going to start, I'll need a good amen, cleaning up. He's not going to move in and leave cobwebs in the corner. He's not going to move in and leave dirt on the floor. If He moves in, He will start cleaning house. Y'all think back when you got saved. You hadn't been saved 5 hours and you knew that liquor had to go. You hadn't been saved no time and you knew some of those friends were either going to have to get right with God or be a thing of the past. And though the preacher never preached on it and nobody harped on it, there were other little things that you began to notice in your life. They weren't right and you jettisoned to them also. Add to your faith virtue. Let me tell you something that happened to a lot of us. Somewhere through the years, we quit looking for cobwebs and dirt in the corners in our lives. And were we to cut the flashlight on spiritually and look, we'd be amazed at some of the messes we are. And that's why we're blind. Can't see far off. Forgot all God did for us. That's why we're stumbling and falling half the time. Add to your faith virtue. I dare you. No, that's not the right word. I challenge you. I charge you as a preacher. Get on your knees tonight at that altar or at the house by your bed and say, Holy Ghost, show me something in my life that needs to be cleaned up. Show me something I'm doing I used to wouldn't do, and it seeped in on me. Show me a way to be cleaner, morally, more excellent to the glory of God. You might be surprised what He'll come up with. I'm not going to build a list. That's not my job. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God can build that list. Hear me. Hear me. Let me say this real quick, and I've got to get on to knowledge. If you say, preacher, I'm thinking back, I haven't cleaned up my life. I hadn't got rid of a single sin in probably 10 years. 12, might have been 15 years since I cleared out something wrong. I have a very complicated word to say. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. If we have not checked our lives for cleansing in that long, we probably are in the fog, in a mess, as sure as I stand here tonight. Y'all okay? Your faith got to be growing. Pray it in. Study the Word of God. And then that'll kick. It's not a matter. It'll kick like you change from first gear to second. If you got a man, if it's on a man, it just does it. First to second, you go from faith to virtue. Holy Ghost will start cleaning you up. Y'all okay? Let's get number three. And the only scary thing is that there are eight of them. So you pray for me, if you will. Add to your faith virtue. I'm at the end of verse 5. And add to your virtue, what does it say? Knowledge. It said you need some knowledge. Would you admit, as a believer in Christ, one thing the Holy Ghost does, He creates an interest for knowledge down in our soul. Had a boy tell me the other day, he said all the way through high school, said, I don't think I ever read a book. But I just wasn't a book person. Said, God saved me. God called me to preach. And he said, I can't read enough books about the Word of God. Something created a hunger for knowledge down in his heart. You ought to be proud of yourselves, or else your good actors won, and I think not. You're sitting there listening to me. Of course, you may be afraid I'm going to fall off this pew. I don't know. You're sitting there listening to me, preacher, drinking in every word, eager, it seemed like, to get the next sentence the Lord should give me to speak. That says you have a hungering for knowledge. Knowledge. Watch this, preacher, just a sentence. I would have put it this way. I'd have said faith first and then teach them. Get them in a new convert. The Holy Ghost said, Faith first, you've got to clean them up, and then comes knowledge. Then we learn. You know why? Because the real teacher of Bible knowledge is the Holy Ghost Himself. What kind of ghost was that? Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will only teach in a clean classroom. Faith, virtue, and knowledge. You mean you think these four teenagers across the front can get Bible knowledge tonight? I can't put it in them, but the Holy Ghost of God sure can. And by the way, they're listening keenly and with respect to this preacher too. Knowledge. Knowledge. The word is gnosis. Means this is knowledge that comes because you've studied, you've read, you've applied. Hey, let me make, everybody knows it already, preacher, and I guess this is just sort of a ritualistic thing. They do have Sunday school still going on, hallelujah. Sunday what? Sunday school for learning the knowledge of God's Word. We ought to look at every sermon as a new opportunity. Help me. To learn about our Bibles. Learn about our Lord. Knowledge. Well, preacher, I used to learn a lot and I was eager, but I've about got it all down now. I know the fundamental. Uh-oh. If you've slacked off and haven't grown in your knowledge, you may be in the fog. You might be getting spiritual myopia. You might be getting a little forgetful about what God's done for you. Faith in ever-growing quantities. Virtue. Knowledge of the Word of God. Could I get a little help here? That is one interesting book right there. I believe it's the greatest book ever written. I believe that it'll minister to us in every area of life. I believe God's Word is truth. It does not merely contain it, it is truth. Faith, virtue, knowledge, or something else. I think we shift to verse 6. Yeah. And to knowledge, the ad is implied. It's elliptical, it's understood. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. Man, we're halfway there. Faith, virtue, knowledge, and here's number 4. Temperance. What in the world's temperance? It's a girl's name. But that's incidental. What the Greek term used for temperance, listen to this, because I'm abbreviating and probably simplifying. It means self-control. Self-control. Uses the word strength, self-strengthen, self-control. You say, well, we got that one down. We Baptists don't have it down like we think we do. If my tongue gets loose and I gossip or I slander, hope I get an amen, that's not self-control right there. I'm driving to work and somebody cuts me off and I get a little red in the face and I get a little, that's not self-control neither. Somebody at church, and they probably, I might have took it wrong, but they smart off or they I get in the flesh and I'll just tell them what I think. You go ahead, but you've got no self-control while you're doing it. Self-control. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon on self-control. But Peter's got it here, and he says it's got to grow in your life if you're going to reach spiritual maturity. How do you get self-control? I'm wondering that. The Bible is so specific on self-control. Listen to this. It's amazing. I think the world calls it brainwashing. Paul tells us what to think. I want to run it by you again. Paul tells us what to think. Nobody gonna tell me what to think. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. I'm telling you, that's a nosy book. It'll tell me what to think. I'll tell you something else about that book. It'll tell me how to handle my money. Hope I get some more amens. It'll tell me how to raise my young'uns. It'll tell me how to get along on the job. It'll tell me some crowds of people I ought to stay away from. Choosing my friends? There's a lot of self-control taught in that book. And we tend to get lazy in that area of our lives. Are y'all okay? By the way, watch this. Why does temperance follow knowledge? Because the Holy Ghost will never teach you something without telling you to go practice it. I heard one amen. The Holy Spirit will never give you knowledge without then expecting you to exercise self-control, temperance, and do what you learn to do. God's not real excited if we're just hearers of the Word. He'd rather us be doers of the Word. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. There's another one. Instead of me picking up my Bible, it's got real little print. Somebody tell me what's next. We add to our temperance patience. Patience. Oh my goodness. Patience? Yep. Looks like they could have skipped that one. Patience. What in the world does it mean? Patience. Listen to the Greek word for patience. It's a pretty little thing. Upomone. The Greek teacher would put an H sound in the front. Upomone. I wonder what it means. Upomone. Mone means to remain. Not to run. Not to go A-W-O-L. Just to remain. Hupo, prefix, preposition, means underneath. Watch. The word for patience means, if God ever puts a burden on me, a load on me, and He will, I will stay under the load. I will not quit and run. I will not run my mouth and grumble and complain. I'll carry the load, sing His praises till He chooses to remove it. Patience. Boy, it's quiet in here. That one's tough right there. Well, I don't understand. God's so good to everybody else, and God's let all these problems come our way, and I don't understand that. I don't know what in the world we could have done. I got a little advice right there. Better shut up. Better hush. That load's going to stay with you a while if you don't learn patience. Well, what is patience? There's a load on me. I didn't put it there. I can't move it. It's in God's hands. Believe I'll go to church Sunday, go up in the choir and sing a while. Patience. 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 Why does patience come after temperance? Because if I'm going to exercise self-control, if I'm going to live for God like I should, somebody's going to get mad at me. Somebody's going to react. Somebody's going to smart off. Somebody's going to add to my love. And guess what? Won't bother me a bit. I'm going to keep on praising Jesus. Patience. Patience. You don't have to answer this. We grumble a lot, don't we? When we ought to just stay under the load. Ask Him for strength and grace. And serve Him anyway. Y'all all right? Faith, let's see. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. We already got five. Add to your patience. What's that next one? Godliness. Godliness. Wonder what? Listen to the word Eusebia. Second time Peter's used it in this first chapter. Eusebia. What does it mean? You, the prefix always means something good, proper, decent, lovely. Lovely worship. Lovely respect. Lovely reverence to our Heavenly Father. Watch. Why does godliness follow patience? Somebody at work's talking about you. Somebody at church is a little upset and creating a little issue or a little problem. And there's a load on your head. Or somebody came in at work and I'll declare, looks like they're going to get the promotion instead of you. And you've been there longer and you've worked harder. That's that load. Calling for patience. Add to your patience godliness, reverence, respect, worship of the Lord. Here's what you want to do when somebody else is about to get your job. Would you watch carefully? You'll want to take them and go. Y'all missed that all. I just beat this thing up and you missed it. That hurt my hand. I'm not going to do that again. You want to grab them around the neck and choke them. You want to take matters into your own hands. You want to deal with it. Holy Ghost won't allow that. When the load's heavy, when there's a bunch going on you don't understand, just be reverent. Just keep trusting the God who's in control. Just keep on loving and honoring Him. Hope to get an amen. And He'll work it out in His time. I thank God's sick of this, I'll get even with you. I thank God's tore up with this tearing, the grudge and bitterness. I don't think God likes the idea of revenge and unforgiveness. He says, take what I give you, rejoice, praise my name, and keep on worshiping me. Godliness. Godliness. What's next? Somebody tell me. That'll be number. Well, it's the next to the last. Brotherly. Is it kindness? Brotherly love? What is it? Brotherly kindness. Listen to this. This is the word. Philadelphia. Brotherly kindness. It's the word brotherly love. But it's not agape love. It's phileo love. We're getting near the icing on the cake. Oh, I'd like to say this. When I started preaching about faith, everybody was in on it. Everybody saved was in on it. And then I got to preaching about virtue, cleaning up your lives. I lost a few of you. And it's all right. You hadn't cleaned up and your spiritual life looks like a junkyard out back. And then when I got to talking about knowledge, I think I may have lost somebody else. You ain't learned nothing in a long time. And you hadn't learned much because there's not much you can learn now. You've about got it all down. And the further along I went, probably more and more people dropped out. And I'm not getting on to you. I'm not lambasting anybody. It just lets you know where you are on God's scale of spiritual growth. And by the time I get to brotherly kindness, I don't know if I'm still in on it. What do you mean, brotherly kindness? It's preceded by godliness. Watch. Here's the thing that will rob you of your worship and your spirit of praise and honor and respect to church. Some brother or sister in Christ will get to acting up. Well, I didn't hear much. And that's a good sign, probably. Y'all probably, I don't know if you've ever had any church troubles or not. I will say you're an unusual crowd if you haven't. But I'll just about guarantee you, and the devil loves to do it. Loves to do what? I'll tell you if you'll amen it. Sow discord among the brethren. I feel like I'm failing to get this thought across. Brotherly kindness. I've been preaching a long time, preacher. God called me when I was 15. Been preaching since I was 15 years old. I've never had a minute's trouble from a bank robber, a murderer. Never had a minute's trouble from a prostitute. Never had a minute's trouble from a... But I've had a boatload of trouble out of Baptist church members. And you can act like it don't happen, but it does. You get tore up about something some brother or sister in Christ did or said. Y'all are about to convince me you're saints in here tonight. I believe if we cut out the lights, your halos would pretty well take care of it right now. Oh, Brother Bagwell, I'd never be unkind to a brother or sister, yeah, unless he got you a parking place. Unless he wasn't real kind to you young'un. Unless he said something about you, preacher. Unless he, and on go the reasons. He said, if you're really going to grow in God, I'll take an amen. You're going to have to learn to love your brothers and sisters. Got to excel in that. I pastored in the Atlanta area. That's the extent of my pastoring. And it may be different there. I'm not saying it isn't. But down there, we had folks that come into a church, wouldn't stay long. They'd stay long to start a little ruckus. And then they'd move on somewhere else. Some of the preachers called them church hoppers. You ever heard that term? Church hoppers. Well, have you ever heard of grasshoppers? They're similar. And oh, how easy it is. I want to put them in their place. Want to get even with them. Oh, how easy it can be. That woman's always got a thing special. He's got to stand in my place in the choir. Why, in the youth group, she's always getting the attention. Why, that person thinks he's a preacher's pet. He's always got to be running his mouth. Why, that family thinks they run the church. Why, I don't know what in the world. Why, they think they put more money in around here than he. I'm trying to get on a nerve, if you understand. What do you do in all of that mess? Here's what you do. I'll take an amen. We got to learn to love one another. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly love. I remember, and this may not be an issue, and I may be spending way too much time here, inordinately so. It was a lady in our church, Debbie in Riverdale, south of Atlanta. loud little lady, saved, I have no doubt she's saved. Loud little lady, boisterous, excuse me, nosy. It's into everybody's business. And time and time again, I'd go and I'd pray. Don't know the hours I spent counseling in that home. And finally, one day they came and said, "Preacher," her husband said, "his company's transferring him, and they'll be moving to Augusta." And I sang a little song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." And I'm telling you the truth, they moved. And it wasn't 3 months as another and just like her come into the church. Here's what I'm saying. We'll never get in a perfect church environment where there's nobody that'll ever rub you the wrong way or upset you a little bit. So we're just going to have to learn to love one another. You say, "Not me. I don't like them. It's a personality conflict, and that's it. I'm through with it. I just pretend they don't even come here." Go ahead. Back off on brotherly kindness, but I got a prediction. If you can't make it right with them and learn to love them, when you get to heaven, it would not surprise me one bit. Your mansion will be right next door to theirs. So I would recommend, get it straight down here. Working it out would be a whole lot better than eternity. Brotherly kindness. I think there's brotherly kindness in this fellowship. And I thank God for it. But lastly, add to your brotherly kindness what? Charity. That's the word agape. The deepest word for love in the New Testament. What does that mean? Watch, and I'll be through. Brotherly kindness, that's each of us loving one another in the Lord. Agape, charity, hope I get an amen. That's winning them sinners to God. Going out yonder, telling them about the cross and the blood and the Savior, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. If these 8 things be in you, in ever increasing proportion, you'll be mature to the glory of God. Now, in closing, where are you weak? Well, let me re-ask that. Phrase it a little different. Where did you drop off the scale? Because you'll have to go back to the last place you dropped off and re-engage if you're going to get back to growing in the grace of an almighty God. Does any of this make sense? It's biblical, it must, but I mean the way I have tried to explain. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. I developed or tried to the thought. Now the verb add. This is going to blow your mind. That Greek verb add is the word that gives in English the word choreographer. It gives us the word chorus, the word choir. And add means this, get it, to lead the choir, to lead the orchestra, to lead the singing. And I thought, why would the Holy Ghost add to your faith, virtue? No. And here is undoubtedly the answer. In that choir, sometimes they'll need the altos. the sopranos, the tenors or the bass, and that leader will motion for them to come in. You as a Christian add, watch, you're the orchestra director. Faith. Virtue. I'm not going to quit till y'all get it. Knowledge. Little temperance. Give me some patience. Godliness is your brotherly kindness and love. And before it's over, there's an orchestra. There's a symphony of spiritual growth in your heart and mine. Three words and I'm done. Praising the Lord. Would you stand with us, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed together. Our musicians are coming. Song leader. I want to make it clear, you don't have to do anything during this invitation. It's purely voluntary. But I'm praying as soon as our sister strikes the first note, somebody will leave their pew and say, Lord, help me to keep growing as a Christian. Help me to increase in faith or virtue or knowledge or temperance. I want to be what you want me to be in my life.